I'm Brent Oakwin, and you probably have heard me sometime before in the last couple of years. It's good to see you again. Do you have this diagram in your notes? Okay, this is my heart diagram. I tend to be a little engineerish, so there's a flow chart there. And if you don't like that one, then there is the tree diagram as well. So you got them both. All right. Well, if I ask you this question, why do you do what you do? What is your answer? Why do you do what you do? You got it. So I probably teased this out a little bit last year if you were in track two. And I probably gave you a hint at the answer, but let's see if you remember it. Why do you want what you want so badly? And so if you're onto my game here, you know, I've taught you, we do what we do because we want what we want, but then you could easily push back and say, Brent, okay, I get it, but let me ask you a question. Why do we want what we want so badly? Do you have an answer for that? Well, we worship what we worship, but I would say your desire there is a reflection of your worship. Okay, so you don't remember my little hint last year in track two. Okay, so we're going to get, what was that? We believe what we believe. We want what we want because there's something that we believe is good for us. And because, you got it, because we are deceived. Okay, I probably mentioned that a little bit in our Psalm 73 lecture last year and then also in the same-sex attraction lecture as well. So I'm going to develop where that came from this time. So if you will, please turn to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go through this and I'm going to show you how Genesis chapter 3 gives us a dynamic of the heart. So let me get there myself. And let me make a running start at this. So let me talk to you a little bit about the context. You know what the context is, the fall, but let me provide a little bit more running start here for us in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now, God created man to be the visible representation of the invisible God. That's Genesis 1:26. And then he placed man in the Garden of Eden. Does anybody know what Eden means? Does anybody know what Eden means? What does the word Eden actually mean? Okay. Anybody have a daughter named Eden? You didn't name your little beautiful baby girl Eden. Okay, here's what Eden means. Eden means delight. Okay, Eden means delight. So picture this, God dwelling with man in delight. That is what it's all about. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. So God wanted his creation, Adam and Eve, to be in the garden of delight and joy in his presence. Now, I'm going to call the Garden of Eden actually a sanctuary. When I say sanctuary, what comes to your mind? Sanctuary. I say sanctuary, you say what? Would you say a church? Somebody said a city. Did you say a city? Who said a city? That was political? Oh, I gotcha. Sanctuary cities. I gotcha. I did not go there. But what else do you think of? Raise your hand if you're thinking of a sanctuary. Yes. Baptism? Why do you think of baptism? It happens in the sanctuary, okay? In the church auditorium. Okay, I got it. Protection. What else? Yes. Peace. Yes. Worship. And that's what Adam and Eve were doing in the garden with God. I say sanctuary because I think about, well, the protection, the safety, and the temple of God, the tabernacle of God was also a sanctuary. And let me show you something of the correspondence between the Garden of Eden and the tabernacle of God for just a moment. This is not in your notes, and you don't even need to take notes. Just kind of get a visual image here on this. Now, when God built the tabernacle, or God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle, Do you know what was on the external curtains of the tabernacle? What was embroidered on the curtains? Does anybody know? You haven't studied like Exodus 25 recently or Leviticus? Cherubim were embroidered on the curtains. Now, if you know a little bit about Genesis chapter 3, what did God station at the east side of the Garden of Eden? Cherubim, okay? Now, think with me on this for just a moment. In Genesis 3, which we'll read about in just a moment, God walked with Adam and Eve. And the tabernacle, and I believe it's in Leviticus, I don't know the reference off of the top of my head, but I can find that for you. Here's what the tabernacle, God said about the tabernacle, I will walk with you, Israel. Okay, so there's two correspondences there, the cherubim, the walking with God. Okay, another one. In the middle of the Garden of Delight was a tree, and God has placed in the tabernacle sanctuary. The menorah that we know of is a candlestick, but if you do, a candle holder, if you do read Exodus 25, you will find out that the candelabra is described with branches and bulbs and flowers. So there you have the imagery of a tree. Furthermore, you have this. The tabernacle was decorated with gold and silver and precious stones. And in Genesis 2, you have Eden being situated in the land of which there is gold and silver and precious stones. What is all of this saying about the tabernacle of God? Okay, what is all of this saying about the tabernacle of God? So all the correspondences that I drew. What do you think? Yes. God is there, okay? So God wants, yes. God is restoring his relationship with man. So God always wanted a relationship with man. From Genesis chapter 1, he created man to be in a relationship with him. Man breached that, but God did not abandon his plan. So in the tabernacle presence of God, God wanted to reestablish a taste of delight. Okay, a taste of Eden there. Now, what is the differences, though? I just pointed out the similarities between the tabernacle presence of God and Eden, but what are the differences between Eden and the tabernacle presence of God? What is the provision for sin, though, in the tabernacle of God? Sacrifice. So there's a difference now. Because of our sin, there's a difference now. There had to be the blood of justice being poured out somehow for man to dwell with God in his holy home. Okay, like his tabernacle is like his holy home. And if you're going to come into his house, but you're all polluted, you got to wipe your feet somehow to get into his house. And the cleansing agent for his house so that you could get in is the blood. And so blood is like the divine Clorox that cleans everything for God's holy home. So the blood of the sacrifice. And you see also all these curtains, these barriers on the outside and even on the inside of the Holy of Holies. There's all these barriers between God and man. And it's only a sliver of God's glory in the tabernacle. So the Shekinah glory of God, not the full presence, but a sliver shielded by all of the curtains and having to be cleansed by blood. Now, fascinatingly enough, in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh. And what did he do? The Word became flesh and he tabernacled among us. He is our ultimate sanctuary. And in his blood cleanses God's heavenly home so that we might dwell with him. So I go all through that to show you that the Garden of Eden was a sanctuary. And that is later developed also in the tabernacle sanctuary of God.